actually, this isn't quite a testimony of how I was touched by God. It's more like a mistake that I made, and then God came and touched me and helped me through it. It's a testimony of my struggle with anorexia. And it may come as a shock to some of you, because you might not think I'm the kind of person who would ever struggle with something like that. I never did. I never thought that I would struggle with something like that, because growing up, I just didn't care about that kind of stuff. I was confident. I was carefree. I didn't care what other people thought. Well, not in that area. And, you know, I didn't worry about how I looked, and I loved food. I didn't deliberately try and eat a lot, but I wasn't shy either. You can ask my siblings. They still say that they love it when I serve the ice cream, because I give such generous helpings. So, you know, I asked myself, how on earth could somebody like that, who didn't care about any of that stuff, you know, fall into something like anorexia? To be honest, I still don't really know. Coming up to the teenage years, I still wasn't worried. I mean, you know, they say the teenage years are when, you know, you struggle with all this and that, and I'm like, no, that's not going to be me. I'm going to be different. I'm not going to be like all those other teenage girls who fuss about their weight and their clothes and their nails and hair. And, you know, no, that's not going to be me. I'm going to be different. I'm going to do it differently. But I was so wrong. It started a little over 2 years ago. I didn't notice it at first. It started growing on me so gradually that I didn't even realize it. First, I started exercising more. It wasn't for pressure at all. It was just for fun. David and Janae and I started going running with our friends each morning or every other morning. And, you know, I enjoyed it, so I kept it up. But I can get really legalistic about things, and soon running became like an addiction. I had to get my run in at least 3 times a week. And I would freak out if I woke up and I found that, you know, I've woken up too late to go running. So, you know, even when we went to America for a family visit, you know, it's supposed to be holiday. No, I still had to keep running at least 3 times a week. So, I mean, that wasn't so bad. Exercising is good. But then the food thing started kicking in. I don't know exactly when it was, but I just know it was like one morning, you know, I woke up and it was like, bam, I'm out the door running every day and coming home and eating about as much as my 3-year-old brother Caleb would eat. Now, he can eat a lot sometimes, you know, for his age, but for me, that was very little. I tried to do a combination of several diets. Like, I'd read about low GI diets, and, you know, you eat certain foods, and they'll make you feel full longer, and you'll eat less at your next meal. So I'm like, oh, I'll do that. And, you know, low fat, no or very little sugar, sweets, and junk food, none of the unhealthy stuff. And, you know, running every day, along with other exercises like push-ups and things like that. On top of all that, I still played soccer. So, and if I had a soccer game that night, it didn't matter. I would, you know, even if I was up till midnight, I'd still wake up the next morning and go running. I skipped snacks. I would only have like 3 meals a day, and I'd freak out or feel really guilty if I had dessert, because I feel like I have to run extra laps in the morning to make up for it. I didn't. I never did, but I still felt guilty about it. It was an obsession. Food and exercising, that, you know, it was constantly on my mind. I couldn't have a beanbag fight with friends. I couldn't go swimming at the beach without thinking, this is a way of burning calories. You know, even in the midst of worship or quiet time, you know, it's still there, still in the back of my mind. You know, I couldn't focus. It, you know, it was driving me crazy and, you know, straining me because it's constantly on my mind. And not just physically, but, you know, emotionally and mentally and spiritually as well. I started comparing myself to other people, like, you know, how I look, how they look, how much they eat, how much I ate, how much they exercised, and how much I did. And this made me jealous, especially if I saw that somebody's getting more exercise than me or even eating less than me. I'm like, no, that's not going to do, because then they're going to be fitter than me and I'd be fatter than them. No, I've got to be the fittest. So I ate less, like in a twisted sense, I guess, you know, trying to outdo them so that, you know, they'd be fatter, I'd be fitter. It sounds ridiculous, I know, but, I mean, that's how my thinking or my logic worked at the time. I felt really guilty because I knew that I was jealous and I knew it was wrong, but I just couldn't seem to stop it. I was also really insecure, especially if anybody commented on like my looks. Like if somebody said to me, wow, you know, you're really slimmed out, or you're beautiful. I mean, I froze. my mind would instantly flash to that thing, you know, the whole struggle. And I was feel really scared because I was afraid that they'd find out what I was doing. And, you know, I didn't want anybody to know. Even if like somebody asked me how I was doing, like mom did several times when she noticed I wasn't eating much, you know, I just kind of brush it off. No, it's, you know, nothing's happening. Nothing at all. I didn't want to think about it. I didn't want people to know what I was doing. I didn't want to think about it. I didn't want to think that what I was doing might be wrong. I mean, the constant guilt I felt probably should have been, you know, enough evidence that this is not right, but somehow that never occurred to me. I just kept going. This went on for about 2.5 months, and my eating amounts just got smaller and smaller. I didn't have a goal weight in mind. I was just trying to eat less and be thin. And, you know, that just kept going bigger and bigger. Finally, one day, I just couldn't take it anymore. I was sitting at my desk, supposed to be doing my schoolwork, but I just couldn't focus. I just couldn't concentrate. My mind was miles away, you know, consumed with that. And finally, you know, I just had enough. I stood up. I'm like, I can't do this anymore. I've got to go tell mom. I don't know how, you know, I was able to think like that. I mean, how on earth did I realize this is a problem and, you know, I need to talk to somebody about it? I don't know, but it just happened like that. And, you know, I thought maybe, you know, maybe God had had enough. Maybe, you know, maybe it was like, you know, his Holy Spirit just, you know, rose up inside me and said enough. And I'm like, okay, yeah, you know, enough. I need to go talk to someone about this. So I went and I told mom and she prayed with me and, I felt a bit better after that. But even though I'd realized that it was a problem, I still kept doing it. I still kept exercising and my eating stayed about the same. I don't think I cut back anymore, but I didn't increase or not much. I tried to, but I was just too scared because I'm like, if I eat more, I'm going to get fat. And, you know, I couldn't do it. I was too scared. But at least I'd realized it was a problem and that was a start. It's hard to summarize what went on in the next, you know, over the next months, and so much happened. I learned so much about myself, about God, about my relationship with Him. I surrendered my body to Him. I gave the whole struggle over to Him, and that freaked me out like crazy. Like, I'm like, what if I surrender my body to God and He takes it and He does something terrible with it? I mean, okay, yeah, I know he says, you know, I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and, you know, not to harm you. But he also says, you know, my thoughts are not your thoughts and neither are my ways your ways. So, yeah, okay, he might do something that will ultimately work out for the good, but it would still be really horrible in the meantime. And I was just so afraid to trust him. And suddenly it was like he spoke that very scripture to me. For I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. It wasn't out loud, but I felt it in my heart. And he just said it so gently, so lovingly, that, you know, I just broke and I started crying. I mean, how can I not trust him after he's made it so clear that all he wants is the best for me? So finally, I knelt down and I surrendered to him. I told him I surrendered to him and, you know, I gave the whole thing over to him. I knew, you know, this can be a process. It's not all going to happen at once. I'm not going to be able to just let go of everything all at once, but it'll be a process of learning to let go and trust him. You know, but I wanted to, and I really wanted to do it. And that, I mean, that was the start. So that was the spiritual side, like growing in my relationship with him. Then I also had to come at it from the physical side. I went to see a doctor with my mom and that got some good solid facts into my head. I realized I was underweight, which was a big shock for me because I never thought I would be. But it helped me realize just how much I needed to come back. And so, you know, when I got home, I drew up a plan of action, how to gain back the weight, get me back. And, you know, I ended with start now. So, and I did just that. I finally started eating more and I eventually cut back on my exercising, which was a big step for me because exercising meant a lot to me at that point. Okay, even then, it wasn't easy. I still struggled so back and forth with, you know, all the fear of getting fat and, you know, guilt of, you know, oh, I'm eating more now, and condemnation now over what I'd done because I felt so guilty. I've done this horrible thing. I've hurt myself. And, you know, I so wished I could rewind, go back before it all happened, and, you know, I'll do it all differently this time. But, no, I couldn't. It didn't happen. And I just had to keep going. And, you know, those times when everything would just overwhelm me and all I can do is just, you know, cling to Jesus and just, and, you know, trust or hope that he would bring me through. And he did. Somehow I kept going and he kept me going. And, you know, he gave me promises like, I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with loving kindness. I will build you up again. That's from Jeremiah 31, 3 to 4. He told me he loved me. He told me he would fight for me. And, you know, I just love that. It's like, it made me love him all the more. So yeah, God was with me, and you know, he gave me others as well to encourage me and to help me through with that. So eventually it began to fade. The guilt, the condemnation, the fear, it slowly started melting away. And, you know, I learned to accept myself and forgive myself, not because I think I deserve it. If it was based on that, I would probably never forgive myself, but it's because I know that God's big enough and gracious enough to forgive me. And knowing that, you know, that he is that helps me to forgive myself. Food was no longer a driving obsession on my mind all the time. Calories and numbers, it blurred back into just food. Ways of burning calories, it just became exercise or fun activities like swimming. And, you know, there were times where I just forgot completely about it, and I was able to just totally enjoy the moment, and I was just absolutely thrilled. I'm like, hey, I'm not thinking about food anymore. Ah, yes! So, I mean, that was great. And just, you know, that's how I just slowly, came back. And now, I admit I'm still a little bit edgy about certain foods. I prefer to avoid them, but, you know, I do eat them at times. Like, I'll think about it, but it doesn't stop me from eating. I still worry about my weight and stuff, but I realized that is completely normal. I mean, every teenage girl or woman worries about her weight at least once in her life. And so, yeah, you know what I'm talking about. Yeah. So, you know, I realized I'm completely normal. I mean, I'd like not to worry about it at all. I'd like to be free from that. But for now, I mean, I'm just comforted to know that I'm normal. And I'm not, you know, I'm not anorexic anymore. So I don't regret it. Like I did before, I really regret it, but now I don't anymore because I know that even though I made a mistake, God still used it, and he used me for his purpose and his glory. Like he, you know, he taught me more about who he is and how much he loved me and who I am. He's given me a testimony of what he's done, and he's also helped me be able to relate to other people who struggle. I mean, not just say with anorexia or, you know, fears about looks and stuff like that, but even other stuff too. So he's really used us in a lot of ways. And yeah, I mean, it's just amazing. Just before I end, I'd like to share several verses from Psalm 40 that really spoke to me. I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. That's one reason why I really wanted to come out of it, so that I can give a testimony of what God's done, so that people will hear about what he's done and that they'll give glory to him. So this is a dream come true for me, basically, to be able to share my testimony with you today. So thank you for listening, and praise God.
Hi. For those of you who don't know me, or for those of you who aren't paying attention to when Vanessa just said my name is Rhoda. And in the 17 years of my life, God has put several people and several events in my life to shape both my faith and my personality. Let me just start with my life, my background. My family, my parents, they are missionaries. We're a missionary family here, and we're supported by a church in Boston. And my dad is an ordained pastor. So when I grew up in a Christian home with Christian principles, and I wasn't forced to do anything. Like, I wasn't forced to play piano. I was able to do all I wanted. Well, actually, when I was young, I wanted to be an artist. So my mom took me to art classes and put me into art classes, but I didn't want to do that eventually. Yeah. So along with my parents, God has given me a great brother. My brother is like my best friend. I can tell him anything. If I'm in a rut, then I can just go to my brother and I'll talk to him. And through that, it's just really been great. But one experience that God has really put in my life just to like build up my relationship with him is when it started really, really long ago, when I was about 7 years old. Both my grandmother and my aunt was diagnosed with cancer. And my aunt, that time, she died. And That was about a year after I just became a Christian when I was 6. I accepted Christ as my Savior. And that just showed me, like, that death really happened. And at a really early age, I was able to experience death. I wasn't really close to my aunt, so it wasn't that big a deal. But, I was still able to see how horrible that was. Throughout the years, my grandmother also had cancer. So my parents, we were flown back from Hong Kong to Boston so we could see her. Throughout the years, several things happened. My grandmother's sick, my aunt's died, nothing more could happen to me, right? Well, my best friend, when I was around that same year, he drowned. He was my first crush. I could remember when I was dreaming, I had pictures of us marrying and all this stuff in this great big, castle, and he was my prince, everything, right? Like Cinderella, right? He was my prince. I remember, kissing him, everything. And his name was Moses, and he was really, really nice. He was really great. And he couldn't swim, and at my brother's first grade birthday party, he somehow got into the deep end, and he drowned. And, I just was crushed then. But I was still a Christian. I was just an early Christian, so I didn't, think of it as anything. And as the time went on, my faith grew. And, of course, in the back of my mind, I still had all these bad things. I grew up I go to a Christian school. I've gone to ICS for 13 years now, 12 years now. And, so I was able to learn about Christ, learn about, God and everything. And in my life, I sort of have a split personality. In my school, I am looked up as a really spiritual person, even before, because I guess because my parents were missionaries and everyone looked at me as an angel. All the teachers thought I was this perfect little kid. Actually, in eighth grade, I was fooling around with my friend. I was tickling her, and my teacher saw the friend and she blamed the friend. And my friend's like, "No, Rhoda tickled me." My teacher didn't believe her. So at school, I am like this perfect little angel, and everyone thinks I'm perfect. So for me, that was sort of my reputation. I had to keep my reputation of being this perfect little girl, being this great little Christian. And so when I was in eighth grade, my grandmother had gotten a lot worse, and I went through a really long stage of depression. But I still went to school, I still went to church, and I still went to youth group because to keep up this reputation of, oh, she's such a great Christian. Oh, she's an angel. She's perfect, right? But around that time, I had sort of not disowned God, and I really I couldn't believe that He would just put all these things in my life. I don't know why He would at that time, and I was so mad at Him. Why would you put my aunt's death? Why would you have my best friend killed? And along in that year of eighth grade, my uncle had died from a surgery, and it wasn't even a serious surgery. He just died, and I was I don't know why you do this. I'm a really sensitive person. This is my personality, and so when something just happens, I think I take it really seriously, and it really hurts me, and I won't show it out because I want to keep my face, oh, she's a great Christian, all this stuff. So I still went to youth group. I still went to church. At school, I was still involved in all these Christian things and worship. I would sing all this stuff. I'd leave worship, whatever. And but it was all just a huge mask on my face. In ninth grade, around Christmas time, my parents were debating whether the entire family should go back to Boston because my grandmother had gotten very, very sick and she was in the hospital. And they decided that the entire family should go. And so we were there. And it was November time. And When we got there, I saw my grandmother lying there on the bed, like, just, like, hooked up to all these wires, having tubes going through her, and she was on so much medication just to take away all the pain that she didn't really know that we were there. And it really hurt me. Like, it really, like, when I saw that, I was, like, just devastated. Like, I really, really wanted to disown God. Like, I was like, God, why did you do this to me? Why are you like this? But once again, I went to church. I did all these things just to keep my face, because in the church, my dad's a pastor there. So, like, if I didn't go, then, oh no, it's bad. You know, Pastor Chan's daughter didn't go to church. Oh no, right? And then, but that time I really decided I didn't believe in Christ anymore, because it just hurt me so bad that he would do it. And, she died that same week that we got there. And, it really hurt. And, so when we got back, everyone's like, oh, are you okay? How's the funeral? All this stuff. Are you okay? If you need to talk, all this. And I was like, oh, I'm okay. I'm okay. And so I still went to youth group. I still went to church. And the thing is, like, I just went because I want everyone to, you know, keep my reputation at school, keep my reputation. And, so it was really, really a hard time for me, just trying to go. And I always say that if it weren't for my parents, if it weren't for my dad, I probably wouldn't be a Christian today. And most people think, oh, it's because she reads theology books, all that, or because her dad's so logical, she must ask him all these theological questions. I do sometimes, but the real main reason I think that I really stayed a Christian is because I was trying to keep my reputation, and I went to youth group, I went to whatnot. And just one time in my youth group Ignite, that's the youth group I used to go to, the pastor, Pastor James, he was talking about trusting in the Lord. And it was in the book of Proverbs where it says, trust in the Lord and lead not to your own understanding. And at that time, it sort of just hit me, and I just felt something, but I don't really know what that meant. And actually, before the summer we went back, before my grandma was actually okay, before that, I went on the internet, and I was going to do devotions, and I went to a site, it was Daily Devotions, and for some reason, there was a verse that said, cast your burdens upon me, and I will give you strength. And I don't know why, and I just wrote that down, and I put it in my wallet. And I've had that in my wallet for a very long time. And I didn't know what those verses meant. And the thing is, God was speaking through me through those verses, and I just kept them in my wallet. And eventually, like, I started, my friends asked me if I wanted to do a devotion group, and so I started doing this devotion book. And in it was several verses about people dying and how God puts them into your life. And there's verses in the Bible that says, God will put stress in your life, but he won't put anything that you cannot handle. He won't put as too much that you can't handle. And I did really bad things, though. I just started not to go to youth group. I just told my parents that, oh, I don't want to go. I'm really tired, all this stuff. I still went to church and everything. But I felt really bad, and I had this emptiness in my heart, and I didn't know what could fill it. And so I started to get into drinking. It just started with just, oh, I have Coke, or I have this water or whatever, and I just put a little bit of, like, the cooking alcohol that my parents do to when they cook, right? I just put a little bit, and eventually there got to be less of the other drink and more of the normal drink. And I got into this bad habit of drinking, and in my heart, it didn't seem to fill up. Like, maybe it would fill up just for a little while, but afterwards it wouldn't, and I felt like empty, and I didn't know what to do. And So I didn't know what to do. And so my friends eventually, they were like, do you want to go back to youth group? And I was like, I don't know, maybe. And so I just went one day, and the pastor, James of Ignite, he was talking about the prodigal son, and how there was the older brother and the younger brother, and he was talking about his life and how he went astray from the Lord, and it really spoke to me how I was like the prodigal son. I was running away. I was looking for everything to fill up this hole in my heart. And right there, all I could find was drinking. And that was like when I was at the pigsty and I was eating what the pigs wanted, right? And I didn't realize that God was speaking me then. And it just hit me that, oh, maybe I should go back to God. Maybe he can help me with this. And so I just prayed on my own that night, asking God just to help me to get through this. And I just felt this great warmth in my room. You know, it's just amazing. I can't explain how it felt, because it was just like this great burning in my heart, and I was like just felt so comforted. And I heard I remember the verses that I had written down, and trust in the Lord and lay your burdens upon me. And at that moment, I just had to just let go of everything and trust in the Lord and just give him everything. And I just prayed that night that I just gave him my drinking, I gave him the burden of my grandmother. And I can't say that it just happened like that he changed my life. But through that, he just slowly, I was able to get out of drinking. I was able to accept, you know, my grandmother's death. And through this, like, my life is so much better. My spiritual life is just so amazing. Like, God taught me how to trust in him. He taught me that, you know, that my focus should be on him, and just giving him up this burden. It was just a miracle. It was just amazing. Like, now, I usually, for a year, I had, woken up every morning at 6 a.m. when I usually wake up at 7, and I would just have an hour of prayer and worship. I'd just take out my guitar and play a few songs. And it was just amazing. Like, in apologetics class, we're learning about evil and why God puts evil in our lives, why we have moral evil, why is there death? And we've come to the conclusion that he's put most of these things so that he can strengthen us as Christians, and so that he could, you know, give us something to look at. And he really did. He put this death, and he's just strengthened me in so many ways. I just had to trust in him. And it's such a big trust, you know, just to put your entire life just to trust him, say, oh, okay, I accept it. And he'll just open your heart and he'll just fill it even more than it was. I think I was at a level about this, and now I'm up here, you know. It's just amazing how great God's grace is. And so now I try to have daily devotions. I lead Bible study for my grade on 2 days, and it's just amazing. It's just great, you know. I think it's just amazing that he can just put some simple, significant thing in your life just to change your entire life and change your relationship with him. So, thank you.